Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to hour number two of our final Football Friday of this 2024 NFL season. I am Ben Stevens. I believe you are also hearing from Joe Ranieri to start off this second hour. Again, our last Football Friday of the year. Bittersweet in nature because, of course, it is bitter and sad. It's our final Football Friday for our final football game now just 2 days away as the Super Bowl countdown ticks on in New Orleans from Super Bowl 59. But sweet because now here in this second hour, we really dive in. We preview the entirety of Super Bowl 59 for the second time in 3 years between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Joe, over the last 2 weeks in the lead up to Super Bowl 59, we've approached this game from each and every angle. The side, the total, the spread, the player props, the Super Bowl MVP markets, all of the Super Bowl markets at your disposal for the biggest football game of each and every season. The narratives, the storylines, the public fatigue of seeing Kansas City and Philadelphia face off once again in a short 3-year window for a Lombardi Trophy. Everything over the previous 9 days, live right here on an early line on Sports Grid. However, if you'll allow us one more time, we recap everything in its entirety to break down the game from every angle again. The side, the total, who wins a Lombardi Trophy, the individual players, the star power that we have in New Orleans that will directly impact the outcome, and we hand out some best bets over these next 2 hours on our final Football Friday of the year.
Yeah, T-minus a couple days and counting here, Ben, before it all comes to fruition here. We'll crown a champ, and will we or will we not have history made in the NFL? You don't feel like we almost had it in rushing this year with Saquon, but the idea that we could see a team go back to back to back and win in this day and age with salary caps and everything else, the idea that we can get a team to go 3 in a row is really maybe one of the most amazing things we've seen in all of sports in a very long time.
And it is a football game, and we will dive through the key advantages that we have seen emerge in Super Bowl 59, the X's and O's in the numbers in this tightly contested game that we are expecting in just 2 days in New Orleans. But history is also at stake. Legacy will be defined on Sunday evening. It will be a part of how we encapsulate everything through the 2024 NFL season, ending in 2025 on February 9th in Super Bowl 59. Of course, for the Chiefs, who have won back-to-back Lombardi trophies, the ninth team to do so in the history of the NFL to even be playing in the Big Easy on Sunday in a third consecutive Super Bowl. That is history, trying to become the first NFL team ever in the history of the league to win three consecutive Super Bowl championships. The Eagles trying to exact revenge and even up the score from just 2 years ago in Glendale, Arizona, coming up short against Kansas City in a high-scoring affair. You mentioned Saquon Barkley, who was hunting down Eric Dickerson's record in terms of that NFL rushing record. He is now just 30 yards away from surpassing Terrell Davis, who did so in 1998 for the most rushing yards in a season, including a playoff run as well. We certainly expect Saquon Barkley to finish with at least 30 rushing yards on Sunday night. So that's the narrative. That's the perspective. That is the legacy that will be added up at the end of Sunday. Now let's get into the numbers, because for our final time here on the Sports Grid Network on the early line, but certainly not the last time a Super Bowl will be previewed throughout Super Bowl weekend on the Spiz Grizz Network. Germanary will be a part of our Sports Grid coverage all Sunday long for Super Bowl 59. We look at the numbers here. And Joe, it's really the same story it has been for the last three, 4 days here on TEL. A 1.5 spread in favor of KC. 22 cents of difference. That's it on the money line. Minus 120 in favor of the Chiefs. Plus 102 on the other side for the Eagles. And our total dropped late last week from 49 and a hook to 48.5. That's where it remains. 48.5. These are the numbers. We'll talk about our perspectives and our thoughts for this game in just a moment. But Joe, it's officially the kickoff of Super Bowl weekend. Where are these numbers going to end come Super Bowl Sunday around 6:30 p.m. Eastern time inside the Caesars Superdome?
Well, I would not be shocked, Ben, if more Eagles money comes in late beginning tomorrow, heading into Sunday. Was the same scenario a couple of years ago, only I think that Chiefs team certainly offensively was much better than the one that's taking the field this year. And they closed at as a 2.5 point dog in that game before kickoff when they were the favorite leading up to the game all throughout the week. I don't think we'll see it as dramatic, but would I be shocked if the Eagles are a minus one by the time this game hits? No, because we've seen nothing but Eagle money in the marketplace now over the last 48 to 72 hours. I don't think that turns around. I do think the public is going to bet the Chiefs. We know this. The books knew it. But at this point, the big money bets are coming in on the Eagles. It would not shock me if more of it starts to come in over the next 48 hours.
Joe, I made a point specifically on Championship Sunday when it came to a close to look at where the numbers opened up on our lovely sponsor, the FanDuel Sportsbook, and look at where the early betting action was coming in. Nearly 60% of the money on the spread back in Kansas City. About 56, 57% of the bets on the spread back in Kansas City. Those numbers in the last week and a half have dwindled. Only 54% of the money backing the Chiefs right now on the spread. It's 50-50, 50% KC, 50% Philadelphia in terms of the percentage of bets on that Super Bowl spread at this moment. In fact, if you want to take the 1.5 with the birds as the underdog, you got to pay just a little bit extra in juice. It's minus 115. 48.5 is our total. Joe, by the time we get to Super Bowl Sunday, in the public out there around the nation and maybe around the globe has had their fair share of buffalo wings and their Super Bowl hors d'oeuvres and maybe a couple of brewskis. Where do you think that total will close come Sunday evening in New Orleans?
Yeah, well, I do think the total is going to go up here over the next 48 hours, Ben. I do believe the public push and the money coming in will get this thing back to where we originally started, about 49, 49.5. But I do believe at that point, you'll start to see the bigger bets coming in, backing the under. We've seen nothing but under money so far and big under money early, Ben, that had pushed this thing down. I do think that a lot of those same big bettors, the pros, they're just waiting because they know the public, it's rinse and repeat every year for this game. Public always comes in late and puts all their money on the over. They want to see points. And then once it gets to that 49 and a half, maybe even 50, I do think that that money will start pouring in on the under and we'll get right back to where we started from here.
One of the beautiful things from a handicapping perspective is the relative sample size we have for this game. A second time in 3 years with largely the same cast and crew between these two teams on the most significant stage of a season on a Super Bowl Sunday. Of course, there are some changes on either side, most notably Saquon Barkley for Philadelphia, who we will discuss in just a moment. But you can compare what we saw in Super Bowl 57, the Eagles closing as a 2-point favorite, a total of 50, to what we are seeing now. Of course, Kansas City won outright as a short underdog. Super Bowl 57, now 2 years ago, was our only over in the last six Super Bowls for those closing numbers. We'll continue to talk the trends and the matchup advantages we have for Super Bowl Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A rematch of Super Bowl 57, now just 2 days away, and Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. The Chiefs, of course, starting their run of two consecutive Lombardi trophies with a 38-35 victory over Philadelphia 2 years ago in Glendale, Arizona. The Chiefs won outright as about a 2-point underdog and a total of 50 skied over. Joe, in my estimation, entering Super Bowl 57 two seasons ago, it was a Chiefs offense that really paled in comparison to the firepower that Philadelphia had on that side of the football. And at the time, a historic defensive front for Philly. In fact, the second most sacks in a single season in the history of the NFL, only behind the 1985 Bears, known as the Monsters of the Midway. As we look at these two teams this year, defense, not a question. Two of five teams around the NFL that all season long, including the playoffs, allowed fewer than 20 points per game on average. But you see the numbers for Kansas City, 22.6 in terms of their scoring output. That is the lowest in this dynastic run of the 7 years that Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback in KC. The Eagles averaging better than 27 points per game. Joe, either in comparison to 2 years ago, or just comparing these two teams right now, overall, coaching, roster, skill positions, whatever it is, which team do you think has the matchup advantage entering Sunday?
Well, on paper, it's the Eagles, and we've talked about it all week. The Eagles defensively just simply, you know, dynamic. We said early on in the year with the Eagles defensively, Ben, it was going to take Vic Fangio and these players to get acclimated to his system, the way he plays. Every team he has ever coached, every defense, there's always been a learning curve. Early on in the season, the Eagles defense looked horrific, right, as they were trying to work it out. But then right when you got to around week four, week five, from that point on, this is an Eagles defense that is by far the best in the NFL. Yeah. They're even better when it comes down to early down defense. They don't give up the big plays. I think on early downs, first and second down, Ben, they've only given up 120 total points all year long. This is a team that has everything rolling on the defensive side that they need. They don't have to blitz to get to the quarterback. That front four is unbelievable, which means they can confuse a lot of different quarterbacks in this secondary by dropping a bunch of guys in and out. If I don't have to blitz you every time to get to you, you know, that's a huge advantage here. And we know that Vic Fangio defenses and the way they play their covers, it's zone is a problem for Mahomes. It always has been his whole career. He's much better if you go man-to-man against him. I don't think you're going to get a lot of that. I do think this is all going to come down to that defensive front of Philly. Can they get pressure on Mahomes? If they can, Ben, it's ball game for the Philadelphia Eagles. They'll win this game.
Joe, all week long, we talked about the checklist, going position by position, even in the coaching staffs for our respective two clubs, and who had the edge, who had the advantage. We're talking about a Super Bowl that features 22 cents of difference on the money line, and still, I believe, the closest distinction is at the defensive coordinator spot. Vic Fangio for Philadelphia, hoping for his first Super Bowl ring, nearly four decades spent in the National Football League, and Steve Spagnuolo looking for his fifth Super Bowl ring. Because you know what coincides with Spagnuolo taking over the defensive reins in Kansas City? 2019, their first Super Bowl championship, and he's been along for the ride in every one since. So, Joe, as we look at where these odds stack up, in the player props, of course, the first player market, we start with Super Bowl MVP award. In the three prior Lombardi trophies that Kansas City has won, Patrick Mahomes has been the Super Bowl MVP each and every time. His team still maybe a short favorite, but favored to win yet another Super Bowl ring, and thus Mahomes is the favorite. The big difference is Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts on the other side. Plus 250 for Barkley, a shorter price by now over a buck than his quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Let's dive into the prop markets and compare those quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, 250.5 his passing number, 28.5 on the ground, 211 and a hook on the other side for Jalen Hurts through the air, 36.5 his rushing yards prop. How do you compare our quarterbacks for Super Bowl 59?
Well, it's we know that Patrick Mahomes lacks any sort of consistent running game, right? So we know that a lot of what the Kansas City Chiefs are going to do, short, quick passes. I believe, Ben, they also very much are aware of how potent that that front four is for Philadelphia. In order to neutralize that front four, what do? You get the ball out of your hands rather quickly. They are a pass-first team, Ben. They have been all year long with Patrick Mahomes because they lack that running game, and Pacheco's been hurt all year. He's still going to be hurt for this game, and he's probably not even their first option. It's Kareem Hunt, and that's only going to take you so far. So I think, really, if anybody is going to have to rely on the quarterback's arm in this game, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Are going to need Mahomes to go over all of those numbers on the screen right now to give themselves a chance to win this game.
That would be interesting, Joe, because I think the burden and the question is, what does Jalen Hurts need to do to keep Philadelphia's offense moving and grooving against this KC defense? But maybe the burden is on Patrick Mahomes to sky through those numbers. The number I think is most critical for Mahomes and maybe the entirety of the game flow we see on Sunday in the Big Easy, 36.5 attempts, 25 attempts in the opening round win in the divisional round against Houston, only 26 attempts even in that AFC title game against Buffalo. We are expecting at least 10 more throws from Mahomes against Philadelphia on Sunday. Part of the reason we don't first look at Jalen Hurts is because we first look at Saquon Barkley. Perhaps the biggest change for Philadelphia from Super Bowl 57 to Super Bowl 59. He is 30 yards away from breaking the all-time record for most rushing yards, regular and postseason combined, in NFL history. And we are expecting plenty more yards on the ground for big play Barkley than just 30. Look at those numbers. We'll discuss a little bit later on. But we head out to New Orleans for some Super Bowl festivities. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our final Football Friday of this year, live right here on a Friday on the early line on Sports Grid. We have already started our Super Bowl 59 breakdown. Spread, side, who wins a Lombardi Trophy? How many points are we going to see Sunday inside the Caesars Superdome? We have looked at the quarterback comparison. We have talked Saquon Barkley. We will continue to take a deep dive in the prop market and the individuals that will impact the outcome in just a little bit. With Mike Blewett. Wouldn't be a Football Friday without Big Blue, but it wouldn't be a Super Bowl Sunday without the best food that you can see. Let's head to the Big Easy with Donnie Wrightside right now.
Super Bowl 59 right here in New Orleans. The place to be. Donnie Wright's out here. Andrew Zimmern and Doug Flutie. Now, culinary arts is New Orleans. World-renowned chefs here, but also we got Flutie Flakes on the end there.
There you go.
Come on, we're in the business.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a candy bar. Yeah. We had gummies. We had the cereal. We're in the business.
Yep, absolutely. Now, let's get down.
Of course, we've been out of the business for 20 years.
Hey, hey, but look, you still look like you could get out there and throw some passes. Don't lie about it. We could do it. Now, let's have some fun with the food business because Sunday is big for football, even bigger for food. Andrew, help me out on Sunday. What's the platter?
Thanksgiving used to be the biggest food day in America until about 18, 17 years ago. Now it is Super Bowl Sunday by a long shot. Number two is the AFC-NFC Championship and about four other sporting events after that. If you were doing a tailgate spread at your house for friends, you have to have five different elements.
Let's go.
You have to have something in the chip and dip world. Has to be something there just to dip something into. You have to have something in the what I call the roast department.
Okay.
That's a pile of buns and a turkey, a ham, piece of beef, whatever. Stick a knife next to it. Let people cook, make a sandwich for themselves. Easy as pie.
Yeah.
You have to have something in the meal in a bowl category.
Okay.
Things like chili and other braised things. Something in a bowl,
meal
hot, especially in your colder weather environments. I then have to add a wing element. If there is not some kind of wing thing there, that's my day to do a wing thing. And then the fifth one, and this really varies from region to region around the United States. If you're in the Gulf, you have a big thing of chilled shrimp.
Yes.
If you're up in Minnesota, you may have some wild game or some wild rice thing. If you're down in the Southwest, you may have some Mexican influence, you know, tamales or whatever. And that's your specialty item. You do all that, you've got a party.
Let me ask you a quick question. Food faux pas for Sunday afternoon today. What would that be? What can't you have at the
biggest
party?
Biggest food faux pas is actually, as a host, is the mistake of not assigning jobs to other people.
Oh, okay.
I think letting go of trying to do everything, have someone bring the ice, have someone bring these beverages, have someone, you know, you can't do everything yourself. People try to bite off more than they can chew. That is the biggest issue.
I got you.
Now, I didn't know there was this protocol. I didn't know it was this organized. I flunked. I got
to
go to school.
You need to come to my house.
I got to go to school.
Wrap the family.
I got to go to school.
We do it at my house.
Like Super Bowl Sunday. Like, what are we eating, Doug, on Super Bowl Sunday? We keeping it simple? We going all out? What do?
We will have the chips and dip.
Yep.
We got that covered. Yep. All types of appetizer type stuff, and then usually a pasta dish is dinner.
See, there you go.
Yep.
So you're serving them. That's a specialty in your house where you've got a meal thing at the end of it.
Yeah,
I like that.
I love that's a good plan. Now, by the way, when we talk about wings, they have to be at the party. Doug, you played in Buffalo. Wing Central in Buffalo. Were there great wings there? Did you notice the technology of the wings there? Like, what was it?
I wasn't the wing connoisseur, but Big Tree right around the corner from the that was the place everyone went.
Sure.
And we loved Blasdale Pizza, which is a chain.
Yeah.
Their wings were big. Like they were good size wing, you know.
Meaty.
There was some meat to them. Yeah. You weren't just, you know, having to eat 100 of them
I
to
don't
get
like a scrawny wing.
No, a scrawny wing.
Too much work.
No, I can't have that. No. Can't
Give
have
me
that.
A chicken leg or thigh then.
I like the buffalo, but not crazy hot. I wasn't crazy hot.
Now, if the question of the day with the wings is it going to be like a drumstick or are you going with the flat? That's always a big topic.
First of all, there's only one right answer to that, and that's the flats.
Yes.
There anyone who thinks the drummy is better than the flat.
All the arguments.
Thinks that dry white meat is better than the succulence of the meat between those two gorgeous bones. The key to it is to put your fingers on one end, push down, get the release, and then everything comes off cleanly. I will say the most downloaded recipe at AndrewZimmern.com is our sticky chicken wing recipe.
Wow.
They're Asian, they're spicy, they're sticky. And it year after year, it is the number one most downloaded recipe. We got a lot of tailgating stuff, Super Bowl stuff, all designed for football parties on AndrewZimmern.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday of the season and each and every football Friday, all NFL campaign long would not be just that. without the services of Big Blue. Mike Blewett joins us here for one final Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Blewett, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here to help us break down in its entirety Super Bowl 59 and to hand out the people some best bets before you go as well.
Could not think of a better way to celebrate Super Bowl week with the two of you. I'll be with Joe sitting down next to him in studio covering the game live for Sports Grid. So excited about that. Excited about this next half hour. And let's get to it. It's obviously a very difficult game to break down from a matchup standpoint. These are the two best teams in the NFL from start to finish. So like it was 2 years ago with a tight spread, I can't say that I feel overly confident in it going one way or the other. I don't think any of the outcomes would surprise me other than an extreme blowout, but I'm going to side with the Chiefs in this matchup. I think the coaching matchups, in accordance with Patrick Mahomes being able to take advantage, even if ever so slight edge, take advantage of the way Philly plays defense, I think lends itself to another Chiefs victory in the first three-peat in NFL history.
Mike, you got to tell me. If you're leaning Chiefs here and if you're thinking they're about to do something then that we've never seen in the NFL ever. Back to back, and we may never see it again. I mean, it feels like it's a Halley's Comet opportunity, one that will never come around again. So if the Chiefs are successful here, greatest run in all of sports, certainly in the modern era?
Because it's so difficult to even just get back to the Super Bowl after you win it, and the teams that lose the Super Bowl almost never get back to the Super Bowl in the following year. The only team to do that since the Bills four in a row was the Patriots when they lost to the Eagles and they came back and beat the Rams. So just the act of getting back is difficult enough. And to go to these games, and we all know now there's a lot of stats being thrown around, the Chiefs have won 17 one-score games in a row. Frankly, I think this will be 18 because I see a tight game. Oof. I think for this to be on the precipice of three-peat is impressive enough to call it one of the greatest accomplishments in NFL history. But to win that three times in a row, like we talked last week, that 1999ers team looked destined to do it. They got knocked off. The Cowboys teams in the early 90s looked destined to do it. The Steelers in the 70s, if you ask any of those 70s Steelers players what was their best team, it was the one that never got to the Super Bowl. The 1976 team, both running backs get hurt, and the Raiders go on to the Super Bowl. So there are many things that can get in the way of runs like this. Health, luck, all these kinds of things to go their way. But the Chiefs take advantage of the breaks that you give them, and I think they will again on Sunday.
Even making it to New Orleans as the first back-to-back Super Bowl champion in NFL history of the nine that we have seen around the league to play in a third consecutive Super Bowl, already yet another notch in the history book for Kansas City. And of course, Blue, to make history, you have to start a run, which Kansas City did two seasons ago in its first of two consecutive Lombardi trophies, with a victory over Philadelphia in Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, Arizona. As we look at these two teams now, Blue, how did you compare those two teams then? How do you compare them entering Sunday in the Big Easy?
So I think it's a very important question, Ben, to have to answer. And I think it was the thing, frankly, that I struggled with the most. I struggled with these two teams when they met a couple of years ago as to who would win. I didn't place a big bet on the Chiefs. In fact, I picked the Eagles to win 2 years ago. I just thought they had gotten to the point offensively where they could take advantage of the Chiefs enough to win that game. Now, you know, that game could go either way. Jalen Hurts was frankly more, while his passing explosiveness was more impressive 2 years ago, he did have a penchant for turning the ball over a lot in 2022 and 2023, those seasons. The 2024 season has been very different. And I think it really will be a key in Philadelphia potentially winning this game. We'll go through some of the bets that I like as we go through this next half hour. But I think that was the thing that I struggled with for this game, is if Jalen Hurts doesn't turn the ball over like he did, frankly, drop the ball that Nick Bolton picked up and raced to the end zone with 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, can the Chiefs withstand the Eagles' rushing attack with no benefit of turnover? I think that's going to be a real key thing to answer. They're going to have to get Philly in third and longs or third and mediums, and that's going to be the key to winning this game. I thought the coaching matchup is a thing that swung me ultimately. Andy Reid, Matt Nagy against Vic Fangio, Andy Reid against Sirianni, and Steve Spagnuolo against Kellen Moore. Frankly, I think the check mark goes in the Chiefs' column in all three, and you start to compare quarterbacks and everything else. I have a lot of respect for Philly. Will not be surprised if they win this game, but that's what swung me that way. I think the coaching analysis and really having to understand that, Ben, some of the key players for Philly that are standout defensive players and have a great trajectory in the league are still very young. Jalen Carter, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, those players are fantastic talents, but it is the first time that they're in this spot, and I wonder if they can rise to the occasion, and they're going up against the greatest quarterback in the league.
What? How does the total correlate to the winner for you, Mike? Does it favor Kansas City for a higher scoring game? Does it favor Philadelphia for a lower scoring game? Where do you see the total landing? Because at 48.5, I still think once the public gets involved here over the weekend, we'll see this thing creep closer to 50. And then I think at some point we're going to get the under money back in play here. But how does it correlate the total with this game and who wins it?
Yeah, I think it's less likely that Philly wins an over game, Joe. So If you're on Philly, I think you like the under. Them to control the ball, Saquon to have a good day and keep the sticks moving consistently. And will they explode for 5 touchdowns running the ball? I don't really see that happening, but it's within the range of outcomes. I think so. The under correlates to a Philly win to me, but I do think that the Chiefs can win an over game or an under game. I just don't see Philly winning the over game. Now, I'll give my score later on the half hour, but I think this is an over game. Not by much, but I think the total is slightly below where I think the game ultimately lands.
And I don't think, Blewett, if it goes over 48.5, it's a shootout or it's because of porous defensive play. Just so much superpower on each side in terms of those stars we know around the NFL. Let's start with that quarterback comparison. You mentioned Jalen Hurts earlier, and I think you could say in Super Bowl 57, despite his team coming up short, Hurts outdueled Patrick Mahomes. Not that Mahomes was bad. He was efficient. 21 of 27, 182 yards, 3 touchdowns and 44 yards on the ground. Just Jalen Hurts put up a generational performance. Now we're coming up on the break here, so I'll save my question until we get to the other side. But again, as I speak about these props and the comparison between these two quarterbacks, there you see them on the screen. So Blewett, lock those numbers in. We'll talk about the attempts props that we will see if a quarterback will put the ball in harm's way and potentially turn it over and how crucial that can be. Just to note, Philadelphia has won the turnover margin in its first 3 playoff games on this postseason run. 10-0. They turned the Commanders over 4 times, the Packers over 4 times, even the Rams over twice, and have not turned the football over this postseason. Quarterback comparison, prop market, and the individuals that will decide the outcome. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Bowl 59, now just 2 days away in the Big Easy, and we dive into the prop market, but really, it's the key matchups, the X's and O's, and the players individually that will impact the outcome of who hoists a Lombardi trophy into the Superdome night in New Orleans come Sunday evening. Blewett, of course, we start with the quarterback comparison. You have mentioned Kansas City and that you expect them to make history and win a third consecutive Super Bowl. We'll get to the other guy and the Birds, Jalen Hurts, in just a moment. If KC is triumphant once again and Patrick Mahomes wins his fourth Super Bowl ring, what performance do the Chiefs need out of their QB on Sunday?
But last week, and I do think that he'll have to be really good, but I don't know that the numbers have to be eye-popping. I am leaning towards a couple of props on offense, and they're related. But I do like Mahomes' completions and attempts numbers that have crept up, unfortunately, over the course of the week. But I do think this ends up being a ball control, passing attack, West Coast offense to the T, and I think they utilize the ball control passing offense as an extension of the run game and keep Philly's defense out there on the field. Running the ball consistently into the teeth of that defensive line is a challenge, and trying to create explosive plays downfield against its talented Philly secondary is a challenge as well. Not to mention that amongst all the teams in the league, I believe the Chiefs had the third worst percentage or efficiency rating of throwing the ball downfield 20 yards or more. So they thrive in the ball control passing attack, which means Kelce and Noah Gray, and a team that likes to use multiple tight end sets like the Chiefs, I think both you can look towards overs on the yardage. Reception numbers are a little dicier to me, but Noah Gray's number is really low, 11.5. Kelce at 60.5. Even if the Chiefs lose the football game, I think Travis Kelce gets over 60.5. So those are a couple that I like as related to the passing game, Ben. And I think Mahomes doesn't have to have a 350-yard performance. I think he can get over that 250 number or be right around it and still have a very efficient, successful day. Like you said last year, 21 of 27 for 182. I still think that could be a winning stat line for him.
So if we talk about the tight ends for Kansas City, early on, Mike, Dallas Goedert was getting all the love in the marketplace here. And it, you know, is it going to be so much as a head-to-head where Kelce versus Goddard, where we could see which tight end, who are both going to be, I think, big parts of any passing attack that either of these teams have? Do we think it's going to be the tight ends that move this needle, or are the wide receivers going to do it for each team?
So it's really difficult to analyze the wide receivers for Philly because there's games in which they don't even utilize them. They don't really have to. Obviously, you have 7 rushing touchdowns in the NFC Championship game. You don't need to throw the ball at all. What's interesting about Jalen Hurts is that he has become very much an attack outside the hash marks kind of thrower. They do not force him. The Eagles offense and Kellen Moore as the coordinator do not force him to throw into tight windows over the middle. They want to keep the ball safe. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Goddard can go off. You have a couple of linebackers on the Chiefs, Nick Bolton, who had a touchdown the last time they played in the Super Bowl, Leo Chenal, who doesn't get all the snaps, but is often there on special teams and at other times to make big plays. That can be risky for Jalen Hurts to throw in the middle. He doesn't want to do it. They don't want him to do it. So it doesn't necessarily mean to me that Goddard is going to have an explosive game. I understand why they can utilize him and how he could be a safer option for Hurts. But if you're throwing outside the hash, A.J. Brown's pretty talented when you compare him to the other pass catchers on the team.
And of course, Blewett, we often start breakdowns on each and every Football Friday with the quarterbacks. It makes sense. It's the most important position on a football field. But Saquon Barkley is here to remind all of us, don't overlook the running back spot any longer. His props for Super Bowl Sunday, a ton expected out of Saquon to continue this record-setting and historic season. If the Eagles are to win a Lombardi Trophy, what do the Birds need out of Big Play Barkley?
I think they have that carries number is the most important one on that graphic that you showed. He's got to be over 21.5 carries. I think they're going to force the issue, and I do think he gets there, but I don't think he's going to blow that number away. I would bet the over on the carries versus anything else on there. Obviously, the anytime touchdown, He's been money there, but at minus 190, I think you can even look for some other interesting bets there, like at Jalen Hurts, 2+ touchdowns at over $5, at plus 550, I think it is right now. Jalen Hurts and the tush push has become a big part of their offense as well. So Saquon, Ben, I think you got to go with the carries number.
Jeez. And how about the running backs for Kansas City? Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, not exactly the workhorses that we have on the other side with Saquon Barkley, but could very well be big parts of what Kansas City needs to do here. How do you approach these two guys in a game?
I'm not really on Hunt in this game. I would be on Pacheco. The numbers are low enough, and he's hit over 5.5 carries in two of the last three games he's played. So I think the numbers are low enough. He was clearly a much bigger part of the offense last year and the year before as they got to the playoffs and in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. Again, different games, different teams, but I like Pacheco to be utilized more than we've seen him. It would not be at all a shock for Andy Reid to start handing the ball off to Pacheco and really mixing it up with Hunt, Pacheco, ball control, passing offense. They're going to utilize 8 or 9 different receivers in this game. I think this is really made for Andy Reid to keep Philly on their toes and just attack them with that really manageable attack. Vic Fangio wants teams to play like that. The problem is the team that he's going up against is perfectly comfortable winning Super Bowls doing it that way.
Andy Reid was asked yesterday in New Orleans when he thinks of his coaching rivals or the hardest guy to gain an advantage over. He mentioned that defensive coordinator in Philadelphia being Vic Fangio, who, of course, he has seen over a long NFL career quite often. Blewett's Big Game Best Bets. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The final Football Friday of this 2024 NFL season, now on February 7th, 2025, 2 days away from Super Bowl Sunday in New Orleans. The biggest game of each and every football year in the Big Easy on Sunday evening. And Big Blue, Mike Blewett, here with us for yet another segment. It is time for Blewett's Big Game Best Bets. Let's start with the side perspective. Blewett, you shared early on, you believe Kansas City is going to complete the three-peat and make NFL history as the first ever team to win 3 consecutive Lombardi trophies. So how do you approach that from the betting odds? What do you believe that final score will be on Sunday night in NOLA?
Yeah, I think we can have a lot of fun with props in this game. We've already dropped a bunch. And I think when it comes to the Super Bowl, you focus on that. In a game like this where the spread's 1.5 and the money is more towards the underdog than it is the favorite, I think the market, I think all the experts out there and talking heads like us will tell you this is a very difficult game to call. You could see both teams winning. But when it comes down to it, I like the Chiefs to run it back. 27-23 is the score, so lay the 1.5. Chiefs on the money line and the total being slightly over. That lines me up with some other props as well. I like Harrison Butker over on field goal attempts. I like him over on field goals made of 1.5. Now that number, the juice on those two have really risen in the last week and a half, as much as 50 cents towards the over. I have a related one on kicking, which is over on the shortest field goal, 26.5. So I think if either team gets inside the 10-yard line, they'll be going for it and not hitting chip shot field goals. But it should be noted that in last year's field goal, the Chiefs did do that. Butker had a 24-yarder, a 27-yarder, which would be over for this bet. So over 26.5 on the shortest field goal, Ben. So there's a few props related to how I see the scoring playing out. Already mentioned Kelce over 16.5 and Noah Gray over 11.5, along with the Pacheco overs.
What do you? I'm looking at the team totals here, and I've heard, when you're looking at an over, and by the way, I would bet it sooner rather than later if you're looking at the over, because 48.5 might be the lowest that you get here as we see this market going up and over. But look at the team totals. I mean, even 23.5 to 24.5 kind of for both teams here. Mike. And if we're looking at an over, well, there's a pretty good chance maybe both teams get over this team total, no?
Agreed. I think the team totals are really tough. I think I'm more likely to bet them both over. I'm saying Philly at 23. We're talking razor thin margin here. I think the Chiefs do get over it. I feel better about them. Obviously, I'm picking them in the game. But I think these lines, these major lines, Joe, in the Super Bowl are really difficult. Last year, the total was 47.5, came down to 46.5 on game day, and landed at 47. That says a lot about how these lines are set. Yeah. They've done a great job with it.
There are not many edges to be had throughout a Super Bowl. So, Blewett, you mentioned some of those props. Let's dive into those numbers. I think one of the big matchups that we have on Sunday is the comparison of the running backs. We showed you what is expected of Saquon Barkley. What do the Chiefs need out of establishing their ground game to stay in front of Philadelphia as we look at the odds for Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco?
Yeah, I think that they're going to need to keep Philly honest. You're not going to want to slam into that defensive line play after play. But I think Andy Reid is going to want to get into third and short. What they did really well against the Bills, and I think people overlooked for a variety of different reasons, they weren't getting to third down that much because they were picking up first downs on first and second down. They were really mixing it up well. Again, ball control passing game against Philly. I think you mix it up with Hunt and Pacheco. I don't see it being a dominant carry share for Hunt, which is why I like Pacheco's overs. A couple of other fun ones, Ben, too. You see all my props there on the tight ends, on the running backs, and on Butker. I mentioned Saquon over 21.5. I think certainly if you like Philly, and I'm happy to go down that path, if you like Philly, you like Saquon over on the rushing attempts. Hurts 2+ touchdowns is +550. And since I don't think Philly will win a really close game, if you like Philly, I would bet the alt spread -6.5 and go from there. Because I don't think Philly can win a very tight game. But if it's a touchdown or more, then I think that favors Philly.
Mike Blewett, we thank you for being on a Football Friday all season long. Have fun with Germanary on Super Bowl Sunday. Hour 3 up next.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.